Our scripture reading is taken from Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 35. And this is the story of two lesser-known disciples of Jesus who are on their way walking from Jerusalem to a town called Emmaus. One of the disciples is named Cleopas, and the other one is not named. It's evening of the very first Easter Sunday. That morning, they had heard the news of Mary's report that Jesus was alive, and they are kind of dumbfounded. They're not sure what to think. But while they're walking and discussing this matter, the resurrected Jesus joins them in their walk and enters into their discussion. And he begins to explain the answers to some of their confusion. And we're told that at first, these two disciples don't recognize who Jesus is. So hear these words now from Luke chapter 24. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" Jesus asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what's more, it's the third day since all of this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but they didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. And then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus." Jesus said to them, "How foolish you are and how slow to believe all the things the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all of the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it's nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And then he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned to Jerusalem at once. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It's true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two of them told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. Here ends our reading. May God add his blessing to it. Well, every time I read this story of the walk to Emmaus, it always brings to mind another one of my favorite stories. And it's a story at first you might not see the connection between the story and the scripture we just read, but I guarantee by the end of the sermon, you will understand what the connection is. And it's a story about a pastor who is very dedicated and committed. He was serving a church that understood him and he understood them, and they had a great working relationship most of the year. You see, this pastor was a golfer, and many of the people in his church were also golfers. And it was about this time of year that the pews became all but vacant. Why? Because everyone was out playing golf on Sunday morning. And the pastor would talk to them about this and say, you know, you have 6 other days to play golf, 6 other mornings. You could also play golf on Sunday afternoon. Why does it have to be on Sunday morning? And they would tell them, "Well, pastor, there's just nothing like golfing on Sunday morning." After a few years of trying this, he decided to give up, and he wanted to see what was so very special about golfing on Sunday morning. So he made up an excuse as to why he wasn't going to be around the next Sunday. He packed up his clubs and went to a town far away and went to a golf course even further. And he went golfing on Sunday morning. And as he got out there, it was a beautiful day. And there's something that just felt different, something that was good, that felt different about any other time he had ever golfed. He tees up his ball. He swings, hits the ball perfectly. It goes high and far. It hits the green, rolls right into the cup. A hole in one. He had never had that happen before. Now, there was a small angel in the heavenly host who was watching this happen. And this small angel went to God and said, "Now, do you see this pastor of yours? He has lied and he's being disobedient. How are you going to punish him?" And God said to the angel, "His punishment is already upon him." So he goes to the next hole, tees up, hits it, same thing, hole in one. Third hole, fourth hole. All 18 holes were a hole in one. And at this, the angel becomes unglued. Because the pastor says to himself, "Wow, there is nothing like playing golf on Sunday morning." And this little angel becomes unglued at God and says, "How can you call that punishment? He golfed a perfect game. How is that punishment?" And God said, "Yes, he did golf a perfect game. But now who do you think he's going to go tell?" I want you to just store that story for a moment. And like I said, I'll come back to it at the end. This story of the walk to Emmaus gives us a picture of what our own spiritual journey is going to be like in the Christian faith. This story points out a couple of bumps in the road that we're going to likely to encounter in our journey of faith. And that first bump in the road, as the two walk along with Jesus, and Jesus joins them, and at this point they don't recognize him. Now, there are a lot of theories about why they were prevented from recognizing Jesus. One was that it was evening and Emmaus is west of from Jerusalem, and they were walking into the sun and their eyes were dazzled by the sun. There's a psychological reason that they were convinced that Jesus was dead, and their mind could simply not accept that he indeed was alive and with them. And I can think of many other reasons why, but ultimately it doesn't matter. Why they didn't recognize him, the Bible doesn't tell us why. It simply states that they were prevented from recognizing him. Now, the point is this. The first bump in the road that we're going to encounter is that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to walk into our lives and we will not always know it. We won't be able to recognize him. And more often than not, when Jesus is walking with us, we aren't going to always recognize his presence. Now, it's nice to have those obvious taps on the shoulder where you can clearly see the hand of God at work. It's nice and very affirming to have those experiences. My dad told me a story one time about how he recognized God's presence and work in his life. My dad worked for the telephone company, and he worked as a lineman at first. And he was done with the day, and he was driving the work truck back to the shop. And he was driving one that was wore out and beat up. And as he drove along the road, he noticed in the middle of the lane that he was in, there was a cardboard box, a fairly good-sized cardboard box. And my dad thought that, well, because he's got the old truck with him, he'll just knock that box out of the road. And as he got closer and closer to that box, something inside him just screamed, "Don't do it." And he swerved at the last minute. And as he went by that box, a little boy popped his head out and waved at him. Now, it's nice to have those obvious taps on the shoulder where the Lord says, "Hey, I'm still around. I'm still in control." You see, just like the human eye has a blind spot where the optic nerve attaches to the retina, so also the human soul is going to be riddled with numerous blind spots that prevent us from recognizing Jesus working in our life. But unlike the blind spot of our eye, the spiritual blind spots can be healed. And the cure is to simply ask the Lord to show you where he's at and what he's up to. And this has worked time and time again for many people of faith. King David is an excellent example of that. King David was blessed by God. He was used by God to do great things. He was the writer of many of the Psalms. But we can clearly see from the Old Testament stories about him that his soul was full of spiritual blind spots. but he was constantly asking the Lord what he was up to. What, Lord, are you trying to do with me? Psalm 102 says this, "Do not hide your face from me when I am in distress. Turn your ear to me when I call. Answer me quickly." King David is saying, "I want to know, Lord, what you're up to with me, because I can't see you working now." You see, friends, it is not a sin to have spiritual blind spots. It doesn't mean that you've lost your faith. It just simply means that you need to ask God to reveal what he's doing in your life right now. So those spiritual blind spots are going to be the first bump in the road you're going to encounter on your journey of faith. And this will lead us in then to the next bump in the road, which is called doubt. Obviously, these two disciples had their doubts. Cleopas himself says, "We had so hoped that Jesus was going to be the Messiah." Now, it's not a sin to have doubts, depending on what you do with them. And there are two ways to handle our doubts. The first way is to simply ignore it and then avoid any situation that might bring those doubts to mind, like going to church. The second way, which is a much more productive way to handle your doubts, is to honestly acknowledge them before God and ask questions. And this is a much more productive way of doing things, to ask those hard questions of God, because questions lead to answers. And that's what the one named Cleopas did. He said, "We had so hoped that this Jesus was the promised Messiah." Now, that was an honest acknowledgement of his doubt, but it was also an invitation for Jesus to answer his questions. Verses 25 through 27 says this, Jesus, said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all of the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." Again, it's not a sin to have doubts, so long as it leads you to ask questions, because questions lead to answers. So doubts are also going to be some of the bumps in your journey of faith. But now notice, once the two disciples have expressed their doubts, they've asked their questions, they've gotten some answers, they still haven't recognized who Jesus is. That did not happen until they invited Jesus in, and only then was he fully revealed to them. Verse 28 tells us that as they approached the village, that Jesus acted like he was going to continue on further, but they urged him to come in and stay with them for the night. And verse 30 says this, "When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him." The point is this, Jesus is not going to be fully revealed to any of us until we invite him into our life and allow him to take charge. And you see, that's what being a Christian is all about, inviting Jesus in and allowing him to be in charge. Being a Christian does not mean that you won't have any spiritual blind spots, because we're not always going to be able to sense and feel and recognize where Jesus is at work. Being a Christian does not mean that we will never have doubts. We will have many. But those doubts can be good if it leads us to ask questions, because questions lead to answers. And being a Christian means that we won't stop asking those questions. It simply means that you're ready to listen to the answers that Jesus offers. And as a result, Jesus will be revealed more and more fully in your life. Now, unfortunately, I can't promise you that it will be as sudden and dramatic as it was for the two disciples, but he will in time be more fully revealed to you. Now the question is this, how will I know when Christ has been fully revealed to me? Well, the same way that we know he was revealed to these two men in the story. At verse 33, it says, "They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them. Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread." How will you know when Christ has been more fully revealed to you? When you have a burning desire to tell someone else. Luke tells us that they ran the 7 miles all the way back to Jerusalem just to tell the other disciples. Now, let's go back to that story in the beginning about the lying, disobedient pastor. What was his punishment for playing golf on Sunday? Well, his punishment was that he was allowed to play a perfect game of golf, but was not allowed to tell anyone. You know, any time we experience something great and wonderful, we want to tell someone else about it. And you will know when Christ has been fully revealed to you, when you have the desire to tell someone else. It's called being a witness. And it's a very important step in our spiritual journey because it's an opportunity to help someone else get a little bit further down that journey of faith. And there are abundant opportunities to share that good news with people. And there are a great number of listening ears waiting to hear answers. So if this passage is like a roadmap of our spiritual journey, then take a look and see if you can find where you're at. Are you early on in the journey and you have a lot of spiritual blind spots and can't always tell when God is there and can't even tell if God is there? Or are you a little bit further down the path and you're full of doubts? If so, don't avoid asking questions because questions lead to answer. Or maybe you have some answers, but you have a lot of unanswered questions still left to be answered. Then you need to invite Jesus into your life and ask him to take charge. And then is when he'll be more fully revealed. Or has Christ been invited in, allowed to take charge, and more fully revealed? Then the task then is to be a witness and to help lead others a little bit further down the path. Amen.